Baby, Easy. A Merlin Pod fic, written by Spaceman Charisma and read to you by Fenton Marshes. Chapter 1. You're along for the ride, not easy to scare. One of the last things Arthur remembered was watching with hazy eyes as Merlin's shaking hands found a true last-ditch effort and unwound the thick bandages from his own chest to press them, knuckles white with desperation, to where Arthur was bleeding. Arthur had tried feebly to stop him, but Merlin had looked at him like his hair had turned bright pink before Arthur could tug weakly on the loose fabric of Merlin's shirt, his gaze unfocused but knowing. Merlin's expression had softened as he teased him gently for being worried, then reassured him that no one would even notice, and certainly not with the king bleeding all over him. His voice had lost some of its humour to trembling at the end there, but Arthur had been kind enough not to point it out. There were many memories that kept Arthur company in Avalon, details faint and distant, but the feeling surrounding him as clear as the water he rested in, but that was one he replayed often. To call it a good memory would be something of a stretch. Arthur had been in pain more than he could have ever imagined, and to see the open agony on Merlin's face had only made it sharper. But the trust and devotion and unfathomable selfless Merlin had offered him every day, wanting nothing in return but Arthur's own well-being, had been as bright and glaring in that moment as any, and Arthur wanted to spend as much time in the light of that love as he could. When he finally awoke, years had passed, thousands of years, but not for a second did Arthur doubt the hands that pulled him up from the lake and wrapped skinny arms around his shivering body. He knew these hands. "Merlin," he gasped out. He would know him blind and deaf. He would know him in utter darkness. He would know him by the way his breath sweetened the air that filled his lungs. There was not a scrap of doubt in Arthur's mind that it could be anyone other than Merlin, certainly not with the agonizingly familiar way he was swaddled immediately in magic, gentle and loving. It was a testament to his faith, then, that Arthur recognized Merlin at all. In their time together before, he had grown so worshipfully familiar with every gentle curve of Merlin's body, every sharp line of his face, every fine curl of his hair. Arthur knew the feather-soft and hairless skin on Merlin's cheeks. He knew the gentle edge of his jaw and the delicate circle of his wrists. He had memorized the slope of Merlin's slight shoulders and the narrow angles of his waist. He knew those hands, the slender arc of his fingers and the unfathomable softness of his palms. But these things that Arthur knew, as well as the blood in his own veins and the ache in his own shoulder, were different. Rubbing the lake water from his eyes provided no help. Merlin was broader than when Arthur had left him, his shoulders strong and straight. His limbs were still lean, but lined with wiry muscle, and dusted with dark hair thick enough to see in the dim light of the moon. His jaw was sharpened to a square edge to match the cut of his cheekbones and his brow. The hands, that had yet to release their death grip on Arthur's arms, were drawn from harsh lines and rough to the touch, the skin of his broad palms calloused and thick against Arthur's wrists. Most notably, the lower half of Merlin's face was dark with need for a shave, like he hadn't been growing the beard out intentionally, but just hadn't gotten around to removing it yet. Arthur had never seen a single hair on Merlin's chin before, and he knew perfectly well why. Arthur had always known Merlin as a man, and this hadn't changed when Merlin had trusted him enough to share that he hadn't come by his manhood the traditional way. Arthur hadn't understood entirely, but his life was full of things he didn't understand entirely, and this revelation, at least, had the decency not to ask anything of him. He had spent idle hours turning the concept over in his mind, trying to discern if there was anything meaningful to be gleaned from what Merlin had shared with him, if anything needed to change. He stopped bothering with such laborious thoughts, though, when he finally managed a breathless confession of his own, and Merlin had rewarded his bravery by turning Arthur's words back to him and dragging Arthur's hands under his threadbare tunic. The details didn't really matter when Merlin's mouth was on his neck, leaving red spots and words of devotion. Any lingering lingering questions had washed away the first time Arthur took him in his arms. Merlin was exactly the same as he had always been, exactly as clumsy and irritating and beautiful and perfect. His skin had been softer than Arthur expected it to be when he touched him, and the hair on his chest and stomach was fine, but he still tripped over the same loose stone every time he made his coltish way up the corridor, and he still caught Arthur in the dimpled corners of his smile. Arthur's life had been full of things he didn't entirely understand, but the dizzying rush of love that ran through his body every time he saw Merlin was simple enough, so he didn't trouble himself with the fine print. He had grown used to Merlin as he was, the differences between him and the other men Arthur knew only becoming more dear to him, beloved idiosyncrasies to tenderly toss in with Merlin's neckerchiefs and made-up words. So it was that, as stupid as he sounded saying it, the only words he could find as he drank in the sight of Merlin's sharp face in the moonlight were, "You look different." Merlin laughed, and even though it came out tearful and hiccuping, it was the most beautiful sound Arthur had ever heard. "I'll..." Merlin fluttered a hand without letting go of Arthur. "I'll explain later." Arthur dug his nose harder into the soft spot under Merlin's jaw and smiled at the unfamiliar bite of stubble against his skin. "You look good." The walk from the lake to Merlin's home was heartbreakingly short, and Arthur did his best not to think about Merlin waiting for so long, always staying so close. The way Merlin looked at him, couldn't stop looking at him, like he was the sun dropped clear out of the sky, was enough to know Merlin would say it had been worth it. Arthur knew better than to try to argue. They were mostly silent, their stagger through the dark only interrupted by frequent bouts where the need to hold one another became too much to bear, and they would stop mid-stride to clutch at one another's clothes and breathe the same air for a minute or two. The sound of Arthur's name, whispered over and over like a prayer, became part of the background, one with the wind in the trees and the animals that stalked through the brush. Merlin guided Arthur inside with a few clumsy attempts at stammered speech, but nothing substantial could make it past the dizzy trembling that had consumed him inside and out. It didn't matter, of course. No explanation was needed for shaking hands, undoing the buckles of Arthur's armor, and guiding him into a tub of hot water. This part made perfect sense. Distantly, Arthur could hear his mind prattling on 1,000 questions about the intricacies of the world he had found himself in, wondering at the water that came steaming hot straight from the wall, and the lights that flickered with neither fire nor sorcery. But these thoughts were quiet and dull, entirely uninteresting compared to the feverish reality of Merlin's hands, skin still paper white, nails still bitten down, roaming over his chest and arms entirely without soap. Touching just for the sake of it. Arthur had planned to let Merlin look his fill, but the frantic flicker of his eyes made it clear that such a time may never come, so Arthur went ahead and put one wet hand to the hard line of Merlin's jaw and brought him into a kiss that was at least half sob. Their lips moved together clumsily, as if out of practice, until Merlin could no longer maintain the contact through the way his weeping had turned nearly to screams. Arthur ran his hands over his hair, his face, anything he could reach, while he fumbled his way through sounds that he hoped might be soothing. In a lull where his wailing was more like a hanged man gasping for air, Merlin crawled into the bath alongside Arthur, fully dressed, shoes and all. His strange clothes were soaked through immediately, weighing down and slowing his movement. But it truly couldn't matter less when he climbed into Arthur's lap and buried his face in the crook of his neck. Merlin's mouth was a hot circle dropped open against Arthur's skin, while noises poured from him more openly heartbreaking than Arthur had heard when he had been dying. His tears were the same warm as the bath water, and the two ran indiscriminately in abstract patterns down Arthur's chest. Arthur had never learned how to be a comfort, having never had any examples of such a thing in childhood, and having had any natural bend towards it beaten out by adolescence. But still, he knew how to wrap his arms around Merlin so tightly that he thought his sorcerer might complain of his bones becoming unnaturally acquainted with one another. He knew how to murmur soft words into dark hair, like Merlin had done when the shuddering shock of dying had taken a hold of him so many lifetimes before. "I'm here, Kyo, I'm here, I have you. I have you, little bird, precious thing, I'm here now, I'm so sorry I was away." They stayed wrapped around one another like smelted iron until Merlin was reduced to infrequent damp whimpers and a sagging exhaustion written across all of his body. He blinked sluggishly at Arthur and dragged a few heavy kisses across his neck before sliding a hand reverently down the side of his face. He righted himself, then made quick work of scrubbing all the time and sweat from Arthur's body, leaving his skin slightly red and his hair smelling slightly of fruits Arthur didn't know the names of. Arthur rose and began to towel himself off when he was instructed to do so, falling easily and happily into the routine of taking orders from his servant once again. Merlin stood in the tub and looked pathetic, sopping wet and weighing double from his soggy clothes. With a yawn, he began to peel his way out of them. When Arthur's head emerged from his towel, his hair fluffed in all directions from a brisk attempt at drying it, he was greeted with the blessed and sacred sight of Merlin dropping his shirt to the floor of the bathtub, leaving his torso bare. It was nothing Arthur hadn't seen before, except that it was, because not only had Merlin filled out beautifully, his razor edge of a body taking on a layer or two of fat and muscle, leaving him lithe but strong, like a warhorse, but his chest was quite notably flatter than it was last Arthur saw it. At first, he had to fight off the instinctual surge of fear that some horrible injury must have happened, but the old white-pink line of scar across Merlin's ribcage was thin and straight, clearly the work of a skilled surgeon. Not that Arthur hadn't enjoyed Merlin's breasts in his own way, particularly reveling in being the only person allowed to see them, but Merlin had been none too fond of them, so Merlin was elated on his behalf at their rather sudden disappearance. Not to mention the slight click of relief he felt in the furrow of his brow, knowing that Merlin's bones and breath would no longer be fighting the bandages he had always wound so tightly around his slight body. Arthur would no longer be invoked to rub out the angry lines dug into Merlin's skin at the end of the day. He was sure, though, that he would have no trouble finding other reasons to map Merlin's perfect body with his hands. As it was, he made a quietly inquisitive noise and didn't try to stop his hands from reaching out, projecting his want. Merlin lifted his eyes from the towel he had tied around his waist, and Arthur had neglected to notice the state of things beneath when he had had the chance, but another opportunity would surely arise, and a frail smile broke through the miasma of emotions swimming across his face. "Oh yeah, they finally figured out how to do that safely." Magic? Arthur took a step forwards, his hand still outstretched curiously. "No, actually." Merlin wrung water out of his hair, leaving it to curl into itself against gravity. "Just good old-fashioned medicine, and enough people like me saying we needed it." His smile seemed to solidify a little at the way Arthur visibly catalogued his body like he had done with prospective knights, soldiers' eyes picking at details no one else could see. His voice had the slightest quality of a tease to it. "Come on then, you can touch." Arthur's hands didn't wait for his own permission once they had Merlin's, and they began, instantly, the essential work of memorizing the feel of Merlin's body changed. He didn't fight the magnetism that drew him first to trace the long line that drew all the way across Merlin's ribcage before running flattened palms up over the straight lines and hard muscle of his chest. "Sorry you didn't get to say goodbye," Merlin quipped, and though his voice was still quiet and shaky, it almost sounded like he had managed a joke. Arthur shook his head as his hands travelled across Merlin's broad shoulders and trailed through the coarse, dark hair on his chest and down his arms. His voice was distracted. "Don't be, you're perfect." Merlin snorted faintly, and there was more than a shade of derision and self-loathing shot through it. Arthur's hands stopped their journey to grasp Merlin's elbows and shake him slightly, his eyes snapping up and bearing in on Merlin's with the intensity of a warrior king. "None of that. You're perfect. You are." Merlin seemed to visibly swallow back the instinct to argue, then settled for pressing a small kiss to the corner of Arthur's jaw. The feeling reminded Arthur of the messy scruff painted across Merlin's cheeks, and he brought his hands up to pet and scratch at it. "This looks terribly good on you." Merlin huffed again, but it was a little more fond, and he leaned into Arthur's hand. "You'll tell me more of this tomorrow," Arthur commanded gently as his eyes grew heavy. "But now I demand to see what passes for a bed in this new age." Merlin's eyes lit up even as they shone with fresh tears, the feeling of being at his king's behest once again unfathomable and indescribable, and he offered a "yes, sire," with the ever-familiar balance of earnestness and ribbing that Arthur loved so dearly. Arthur followed Merlin to his bedchamber and dutifully allowed Merlin to dress him in unfamiliar clothes that were tighter than Arthur might have preferred, but the material was so unimaginably soft that he couldn't find it within himself to mind. He acquainted himself with the bed, which proved to be of a similar caliber of implausible comfort, and didn't wait for permission to make himself at home on his preferred side of the mattress, relishing in the soft spun sheets on his clean skin. In the meantime, Merlin had acquired alarmingly coloured underclothes for himself, and he was quick to slide into bed next to Arthur, his chest bare. A twitch from his hand put out all the lights in the room. Merlin wasted no time on pretense, writhing his way into the crook of Arthur's arms and burrowing down into every patch of warmth he could reach. Arthur wrapped Merlin up in himself and buried his face in Merlin's still damp hair, willing himself to drown in the ancient familiarity of the wet earth smell of him. Merlin trembled against Arthur's body like he shook his way through the winters of their youth. Small and helpless sounds were bitten off and died in his throat. His teeth ground like he was fighting the instinct to dig them into Arthur's flesh and keep him. Arthur wouldn't have minded. As Merlin's hands scrabbled for purchase on his clothes and skin, Arthur clutched him close enough to feel the stutter of his heartbeat. Thick hair scraped at Arthur's skin where their legs tangled together, and a small part of him smiled at the feeling. After a while, Merlin's shivering eased, and the stream of grief that flowed from his chest stemmed into a quiet mumbling mantra of "I love yous." Arthur met him in turn with a hand combing through his hair and a litany of every sweet thing he could think to call him, so full of love he thought it must be coming out of his pores. Magic twined its way around them both, pricking at their skin and settling in like a heavy blanket. It felt so entirely Merlin, and it was singing to have Arthur in its grasp again. Arthur felt much the same. Eventually, the darkness of the room and the trailing warmth of Merlin's hands and his magic weighed on Arthur like a gentle haze, and he fell into sleep slowly and easily. Chapter 2. Suddenly it's easy with the lights on. Arthur had never been so happy to wake up. He was as groggy and heavy-limbed as ever, but the novelty of waking at all wasn't lost on him yet. The light was thin, the morning still very early. His eyes focused slowly to be greeted with the perfect, shocking blue of Merlin staring back at him, his cheeks pressed to Arthur's chest, like no time had passed at all. The look on Merlin's face was different than it had once been, though. There was no whisper-faint smile tugging at his lips. His eyes were wide, and his brow drawn up, with a foreign kind of sorrowful fear. His gaze raked over every inch of Arthur's face, over and over again. Arthur offered him a slow smile and drew him tight with the arm wrapped around his waist, stroking gently at the place where Merlin's ribs used to stick against his skin, admiring the feel of fat and muscle beneath his hand. "Did you sleep at all?" Arthur's voice was hoarse and quiet against the morning air. Merlin shook his head. Arthur wasn't surprised. He knew him too well. Merlin swallowed against the dryness of his throat before he spoke. "Feels like if I take my eyes off you, you'll disappear." Arthur brought his hand up to trace the lines of Merlin's face, pushing back the hair that had grown long enough to curl over his eyes, learning the scratch of his stubble against his fingertips. "I'm here." It wasn't enough. He knew it would never be enough. But Merlin's eyes slipped closed as the whisper fanned across his face, and Arthur felt like he had achieved something. It was easy, then, to roll his body over Merlin's, pressing him onto his back and into the mattress the way that always made him hum happily. He propped up on his elbows and took a moment to just look at Merlin, the raven wing whirl of his hair against the pillow, the spilled milk smoothness of his skin, the infinitely deep blue of his eyes. He was so familiar, and regardless of the ways he had changed and 1500 years had hollowed him out, the look of blind faith and absolute devotion that he leveled at Arthur was unmistakable. There was nothing left for Arthur to do but to kiss him. In the easy morning light, Merlin kissed him back with a sleepy kind of need that came with a low, sweet hum rattling in his chest. His lips had the same millennia-old chap to them of being bitten at regularly, and Arthur chased the rough slide of them with his tongue. When Merlin opened his mouth under him with the smallest whine, Arthur didn't hesitate to twirl their tongues together, tasting salt and earth and centuries of longing. He slid his fingers into Merlin's hair, and Merlin grappled at the heavy lines of his shoulders and arms. A chorus of soft noises sang back and forth between them. It was unimaginable that they had gone so long without this. The rasp of Arthur's crooked tooth caught on his lower lip, and Merlin gasped with a faint arch of his back. Arthur trailed his open lips down Merlin's jaw and began to lovingly mouth at the endless, perfect skin of his neck. Merlin's breath came ragged, and he didn't try to stop the high, desperate whine in his throat. Arthur forcibly pushed away thoughts of how long Merlin had waited to be touched like this again, as he gripped at Merlin's waist, kneading appreciatively into the flesh that kept his hands from Merlin's bones. With a wanting noise and a hand threaded through blonde hair, Merlin tugged Arthur back up to his mouth and devoured him with the same fervor with which he was holding back tears. The feeling of his facial hair scratching at Arthur's lips and cheeks was novel, and Arthur found he liked it quite a bit. Merlin's hands roved across the planes of Arthur's chest and belly, his fingertips sparking with magic that leapt excitedly against Arthur's skin. Arthur dragged his nails down Merlin's sides and savored the shiver that it evoked, then wrapped his hands around Merlin's hips. He had begun to burn with a pleasant arousal, and even half-hard, the strange, tight pants that Merlin had supplied him with tented almost obscenely. He swiped his tongue slick and heavy against Merlin's and bit lightly at the swollen curve of his lower lip. Merlin groaned deep in his chest in response to the feeling of Arthur's hips bearing down on his thigh. Arthur let his hands slide down to curl his fingers in the waistband of Merlin's shorts and pulled back to begin sliding his body ever so slowly down the mattress. "Can I?" "Oh my God, yes!" The words spilled out of Merlin's mouth, like he couldn't stop them if he tried. A smile split Arthur's face that was somehow equal parts predatory and affectionate, and he properly grabbed handfuls of Merlin's pants while he sucked a deep, red mark over his collarbone. Merlin managed a breathy, "Wait, wait," and put his hand on Arthur's head. Arthur's hands stilled instantly, and he looked up to catch Merlin's lust-hazy gaze. Merlin's eyes were shining, and a soft smile pulled at his cheeks. "Things are," he chuckled a little, "not exactly the same as the last time you checked in, as it were." Arthur hummed while he licked a stripe up Merlin's neck and pet feather touches over his hip bones. "Do tell." "It's," Merlin's breath stuttered, and he smacked playfully at Arthur's shoulder. "Stop that, I need to focus." Arthur nipped once sharply at the tendon of his neck before grinning up at him indecently. "My apologies. Carry on." Merlin ran a loving hand through Arthur's hair and let out a deep breath. The medicine that I take that does the..." He paused and gestured a hand down the length of his body. All the changing, it... He bit off his words again and winced slightly, clearly unsure how to explain. Finally, he shook his head and offered, "Basically, everything important is the same, but it's going to look slightly different than it did." "Can they not?" Arthur's brow furrowed as he thought of how to ask politely, perhaps a moot point with his hands already dipping into Merlin's pants. "Can they not, fully change things, like they did with your chest?" Merlin laughed a little at his discomfort, but his smile was overwhelmingly fond. "They can, actually. It's just not something I really want." Arthur nodded thoughtfully before digging his thumbs into the grooves of Merlin's hips and asking, as entitled and imperious as ever, "So, may I continue?" Merlin laughed again, and the sound was like rain after a drought. He raised his arms to tuck them behind his head so he could lounge and play unaffected as he inclined his head to say, "As you were." Arthur made a noise that was all too pleased before scraping his teeth over one of Merlin's nipples to hear him gasp. He sat up on his heels to watch as he slid Merlin's pants off, doing nothing to hide the naked want in his eyes. Merlin had been telling the truth. Things were largely the same as Arthur had left them, but the rough, dark hair that peppered his legs and the bottom of his stomach was new, and when Arthur buried his face in the furrow of his hip, the smell of his skin was sharper and deeper. Arthur's mouth fell open to breathe more of it in. With his tongue lolling out, he learned the keen, masculine taste of Merlin's sweat and did his best not to grow too emotional over the familiar, herbal Merlin taste that had stayed the same underneath. Merlin's legs began to shake under Arthur's sprawled palms, and Arthur struggled not to feel too proud of himself yet. He mouthed up and down the soft insides of Merlin's thighs, sucking bruises into the smooth skin.
Arthur!
Merlin gasped out his name like he had run a mile, trailing a fluttering hand down the side of his face. Arthur knew how to take a hint. He settled his hands in the grooves of Merlin's pelvis and buried his face between Merlin's legs. The taste of him was different there, too, more pointed than it had once been. Arthur was immediately obsessed with it. He dug his tongue in as deep as it would go and made Merlin gasp before dragging it upwards. He reached Merlin's cock before he expected to and realized all at once what Merlin meant that he had changed. Where before the most pleasurable part of Merlin's body had been tucked away, about the size of Arthur's fingernail, now it was nearly as big as his thumb and stood at attention, not unlike Arthur's own cock was throbbing in his pants. His chest rattled with a deep groan when he realized he could wrap his lips around it and suck. Merlin answered back with a cry and his magic flaring hot against Arthur's skin. Arthur rapidly grew enamored with the way Merlin fit in his mouth, twirling his tongue and swallowing around him, immeasurably delighted and turned on by feeling him hard and twitching against the ridged roof of his mouth. It was so easy to lose himself in the irregular snapping of Merlin's hips and the uninhibited stream of noises that tumbled from his mouth, filthy and loud and not even attempting to resemble speech. Merlin's hands couldn't decide between pulling at Arthur's hair or his own, and when Arthur managed the strength to open his eyes and look up, it was a gamble as to whether Merlin's would be closed as if in pain or gazing down on him like he was a miracle. After a while of familiarizing himself with the shape of Merlin's cock on his tongue and drinking down his jumpy moans and the thick taste of him, Arthur slid one hand down to where his face was pressed into Merlin's slick heat and drew his fingers to where he was the slickest and the hottest.
"Please, please, please,"
Merlin droned, driving his hips down onto Arthur the way he knew perfectly well drove him to madness. Arthur knew Merlin well enough not to take his time. Two thick, sword-calloused fingers slipped inside of him effortlessly, coated instantly in the saliva running from Arthur's mouth and the natural liquor of Merlin's body. Merlin's low keening turned into a broken chant of Arthur's name while Arthur's fingers filled him up and expertly stroked along the velvet innermost parts of him. Arthur's mouth stayed busy as well, his lips sealed around Merlin's cock, and his head bobbing with it as if he could coax it down his throat. The rhythm of using his body for Merlin's pleasure was ancient and well known to him, and he sank into it blissfully. The occasional rock of his hips into the mattress kept his own need from becoming pressing, and he let his mind fill with Merlin's euphoric babbling. With Merlin's euphoric babbling and the pleasant buzz of his own mind-numbing arousal. Merlin's hands began to pull at his hair, and he started to whimper on every exhale, and Arthur would have known he was close even if he couldn't feel the arrhythmic fluttering of muscle around his fingers. Merlin's magic sparked wildly and surrounded them both with a golden glow. Arthur's tongue stroked up and down Merlin's cock almost coaxingly, and his fingers crooked relentlessly into the places they were felt the most. When Merlin came, it was with his heels digging into Arthur's back and his fingernails digging into Arthur's skull, and a rush of slick, salty fluid that Arthur lapped up greedily. He cried out something that might once have been Arthur's name, and his eyes flared gold with magic just as every light in the house flickered on and off again. Arthur only stopped when one of the hands clutching at him pat him twice quickly, like tapping out in a wrestling match. He flicked his tongue one last time to see Merlin's legs twitch. Then he reluctantly pulled himself away. Arthur's whole face from below his nose was shining wet and dripping onto his neck. He dragged a hand over the mess before licking his lips and sealing them over Merlin's. The kiss was a lopsided affair, with Arthur licking hungrily into Merlin's mouth, while Merlin shook and tried to catch his breath, sucking the air straight from the lungs of his king. Arthur remembered his own erection when he started to grind it against Merlin's hip, and his blood burned when Merlin whined needily at the feeling. "Please, Arthur, please." Merlin's legs were sprawled shamelessly out to either side, and he was trembling with every heartbeat. His eyes were still dazed with his orgasm, but he looked at Arthur with mouth-watering need. He twitched his fingers at Arthur's hips, and it was obvious what he wanted. Arthur hummed, shoved out of his clothes, and slid three fingers into Merlin easily, making him shudder. "How long since someone had you like this?" he purred smoothly against Merlin's lips, as if he wasn't on the verge of spontaneous combustion. Merlin's speech was broken and stuttering. No one. No one since you. Only you. "Merlin." A long whine. "Only you. Only ever wanted you." Arthur couldn't restrain the growl that rose from his chest, something base and animal inside of him preening at possessing Merlin so wholly for so long. More than that, though, he was once again all but cracked in half by the weight of Merlin's devotion and loyalty. He could never even hope to repay it, to deserve it, but he could, at least, give Merlin what he asked for. "You're so good, Bert," he rumbled into the sweat-shined skin of Merlin's neck, hiding from the love that threatened to split him from the inside. "You're so good for me. I love you so much. I've always loved you so much." Merlin did his best to catch his breath. "Love you. Love you. Please fuck me." Arthur groaned in disbelief at how perfect Merlin always was and continued to be, and he kissed him hot and filthy while he lined his cock up with his fingers. He was beyond hard, had been for a while, and he was shining nearly as wet as Merlin was. Merlin barely had time to whine at the loss when his hand pulled away, before his mouth was hanging open around little convulsive breaths as Arthur slid into place. A deep, shuddering noise shook Arthur's chest, and he pressed his face into the hollow of Merlin's neck, lapping at the salt that glazed the skin there and sucking bruises into the fragile porcelain. He began to rock his hips slowly and soaked up the little broken noises that slipped from Merlin's swollen lips and the biting drag of Merlin's blunt fingernails across his shoulders.
"Good, good,"
Merlin stammered, his voice high in his throat.
"Love you so much, Arthur, Arthur."
Merlin's hands on Arthur's face, he pulled him into a messy kiss, all teeth and tongues and heavy breath into one another's mouths. Merlin's heels came up to dig into the small of Arthur's back, and Arthur took his cue. The slide into and out of Merlin's body was hot and wet and perfect, and Arthur worked into a rhythm that had both of their voices breaking around tremorous moans. One of Arthur's hands lovingly pinned Merlin's wrists above his head, and the other pet absently over his hair and face. "So beautiful," he mused, his lips to Merlin's jaw. "You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, love. Always have been." Merlin cried out and worked his hips back on Arthur, meeting his thrusts. Arthur recognized his wanting. He still knew Merlin's body as well as his own, and let one of his hands wander back to Merlin's groin. Two fingers circled his cock with touches that were barely there at all, and Merlin panted through the sensitivity. Arthur had been a hair's breadth from coming since getting his mouth on Merlin and hearing his sobs of pleasure, so he was unsurprised to find his rhythm stuttering and his stomach tensing not long after Merlin started making needy little sounds. His movement became less clean, and he found himself grinding into Merlin erratically, chasing his own gratification while his slick fingers brought Merlin to his limit once more. With a gasping hymn of Arthur's name and several aborted attempts at confessing his love, Merlin came again, and the tensing of his muscles and the gorgeous ecstasy of his voice sent Arthur over the edge with him. They collapsed into each other, Merlin digging his face into the crook of Arthur's neck, and Arthur holding him with a hand behind his head. They breathed heavy and exhausted against one another while they trembled and twitched their way through the aftershocks. After a long moment of soaking in the smell of sex and the late morning light, Arthur found the strength to pull out. A flash of gold, and Merlin willed them dry and clean. He left Arthur's cum leaking out of himself, though, the dirty bastard. He reached two trembling fingers down to run through the mess and bring it to his lips, where he sucked on his own fingertips and nearly keened at the taste. "You are filthy," Arthur said, with affection and reverence. "I missed you," Merlin said, as if that explained everything. Maybe it did. Arthur rolled to his side and pulled Merlin flush against his body, entwining their legs and laying a hand over Merlin's thudding heart. "I'm here," he murmured into the curls at the back of Merlin's head. Merlin hummed and it rattled in his chest. He wriggled back into Arthur's hold and laid his head on Arthur's outstretched arm. His hands wrapped lazily around Arthur's wrist, and he trailed sleepy kisses across all the skin he could reach. Magic coiled around their bodies happily, smelling of springtime and static electricity. Arthur drew his fingers in swirling patterns over Merlin's chest, tracing the long scar as it arched across his body, and nestled his face in the back of Merlin's neck, letting Merlin feel the rise and fall of his breath. "I'm here." The end. Thank you for listening. This was Baby Easy by Spaceman Charisma.